Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Turn to somebody and say, I give God permission tonight to mess me up. If anybody here tonight needs messing up, it's me. Come on, amen. I mean that. Hallelujah. I'm on a different journey right now, and it's going to be all right. I'm not going into that. Most of you already know. My wife passed away the 15th of May, 51 years. She was my intercessor. She would take that Bible. I mean, I preached 350 times a year back in the 70s, 80s, and she had that Bible under her arm while I'm preaching. Come on, amen. But I'm thankful. Those prayers are still going on by tonight, by the way, tonight. 2008, they get a call from Randy Watson. He said, I want you to come and do a healing and impartation service on Tuesday night, Mother's Day week. I said, we're going to do what? He said, yeah. But what made that happen? I'm at a revival, and I take my phone, because they told me to, and I dial somebody. I dial Russell Ford. I ain't talked to him in I don't know how long. And I said, hey, Russell, listen to this. I didn't know where he was, Brother Dan. Brother Dan's here tonight from Ocala. And he started shouting and speaking in tongues and doing twirls in the parking lot. Somebody went in the church and told Jackie, Russell is having a fit. Something's happened to him. He's out there twirling. He comes back inside, and they got a ladies' thing going on. And Sister Annette put that thing on. There's probably 300 women there. And she said, come here, Russell. And she didn't know anything. She said, lay hands on this woman. And bam, that God healed that woman just like that. Wow. Transferred from another part of the country into Russell, into that woman. My God, I feel him tonight. And then he called me after that and said, I feel led you to come do a healing impartation on Tuesday night. I think it was May 13th, 2008. Went by the hospital because Sister Annette was in congestive heart failure. They called me the day before and said, you need to bring your prayer shawl to lead. I'm sure you know what that is. She said, I want you to, she sent word, said, Brother Keith, bring that prayer shawl. She still got it. I never got it back. I got another one, but I took it in there and I laid it on her. It's a big, big prayer shawl. I didn't stay but just a few seconds because they said you can't stay long. So I prayed and draped it over and I went outside and I said, are we going to do a healing service tonight? He said, oh, yeah. Father Don was standing there from the, used to be Episcopal Church, now the Anglican Church. He's standing there. He's there. He said, you go on and let God flow through you. I said, okay. They got a kicking choir. They got kicking worship teams. And he said, you do what you feel led. And I had CDs. And Sister Pam helped me put some stuff together. Dealing with holy, holy, holy revelation song. Instantly, Sister Shirley was there, Pam was there, Heather was there. Instantly, I felt some of that a while ago. I started shaking around. I said, oop, I'm already getting drunk. Turn to somebody and say, it's all right to drink tonight. From heaven, not Jackie Daniels. From heaven. And I'll make it short. Father Don spoke to me and said, now, my wife has never been in a Pentecostal meeting. She's got spiky gray hair. She's tall. She may run out of there, so just be, it'll be all right. I spoke about a few minutes, and then, man, the power of God, the glory of God was, you could feel it. I prayed for, there was 200-something people there that night. And I done prayed for 100. And I turned around and said, Pam, where's Where's Father Don's wife? He said, she's right there. I said, bring her here. I reached out and grabbed her by the fingers, and I started talking, and she's gone. Talking in tongues. Come on, amen. Episcopal pastor. She's on the floor talking in tongues. There was probably half of the crowd was them from the Anglican church next door. And now then they call themselves Anglicostal. That's the truth. Pam's dad every Tuesday night wrote down everything that happened. I got it. It's still a book. Over 150 people in that Anglican church received the Holy Ghost. I pray for everybody about six times. Miracles. One lady had a wheelchair. She pushed it to the car and never went back to it. Many miracles of healing. I got a phone call from Brother Randy, and he said, can you come back next Tuesday? I said, I'm going to change things around, because I promised God, Brother Ronnie, for years. And Dan knows too, he was there almost every time. I promised God, if it ever breaks out like that, I'm going to stay with it. We stayed 6 months every Tuesday night. I thank you for that tonight. Something transformed in my life in those Tuesday nights. The second Tuesday night, Father Dunn came. He walked up to me. He had his, what do they call him? Amen. His clergy robe. Well, not robe, but anyway. He said, here I am. I said, okay. I grabbed him by the fingers. So I knew why they came out of the Episcopal church. But God gave me this word for Father Don, and I said, because you've chose holy things over evil things, I'm going to do holy things in you. He's on the floor. He's out, I don't know how long. He gets up. He's talking in tongues. Hello. He's talking. He said, now, don't come up to me at church and bless me out. He's the one who said it. He said, what the heck was that? I said, it's called the Holy Ghost. And all of those things happened, miracles of healing, and I thank God for all that. I don't know if Dan remembers it or Pam, but I stepped off that platform one night, and God spoke this to me, Pastor Ronnie, because I had been preaching in revivals. When that leper man went up and touched Jesus, and Jesus touched him, rather. If thou will, you can make me clean. Jesus said,
I will.
When I stepped off that platform, God spoke to me and said, you're operating in the I will. Turn to somebody and say, he will tonight for you. He will tonight for you. Somebody gonna leave here healed in your mind, your body. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. Sharabo suturibiki. Sister Sherry, it's true. It's supposed to be tonight. I'm supposed to be here, and I'm not bragging. I never have hammered Brother Ronnie about being here. And I know I am. He contacted me before my wife passed. Kind of put it on hold, naturally. He asked me, he said, you ready to preach? I said, I'm ready. I'm not a book or something about high. God, I feel him. Many years ago, God spoke this to me. Everywhere I go, I repeat it. The little church in Arkansas, out in the country, spoke to me on that platform. You're going to repeat it with me right now. I'm going somewhere I never have been. In God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. As we say in Plant City, I ain't coming back. Turn to somebody with an attitude and say, I ain't coming back. You know how to do the attitude thing. Come on, amen. My God, have mercy. I've got something to tell you if I can. 1 Kings 18. We all know this very well. The first part of this chapter. You can hang close. I ain't gonna be long. My wife was my timekeeper. She would go for her watch. And then she would go. That's the truth. Then she would go. And if I went past that, she just did this. Hallelujah. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up. Eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of, if I say it. And Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, put his knee, face between his knees. Now, that's not very comfortable. Hello? Remember that part. Said to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Somebody said, there is nothing. That's what the devil likes to tell you. Nothing going to happen tonight. And he said, go again seven times. That's a good number. Came to pass the seventh time. He said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop you not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, turn to somebody and say, everybody got a meanwhile. Yeah, everybody's got one of them. I had some of them lately. In a meanwhile, that the heavens were blackened with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, in the first part of that chapter, he called fire down out of heaven on some sacrifice. He had a preacher kill him. Hello. Killed 700 prophets of Baal, which was false religion. We eat up with it today in America and around the world. Today, we're living in some of the worst of times. Governments are collapsing. Economic distress. Come on, amen. Distress of nations, earthquakes, tsunamis. It goes on, sin, sickness, addictions of all kinds. We're living in desert conditions. Now, the reason they got a desert is because the man of God prophesied it. We need some prophets again. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something. I'll just hold on. Desert conditions means nothing conducive to life or to promote life or to sustain life.
All right.
desert conditions is an awful place to be. But he had all these great things, called fire down, and fire fell. And man, we got a revival going on. But then also there's a great famine going on. He told Obadiah, the king did, and said, go and find water for the beasts and the horses and the animals and for ourselves. You know how Obadiah met him, the man of God. And when you meet Elijah, either you was in trouble. He said, am I about to die? No, you just go tell Ahab. If I tell Ahab you're here, he's surely going to slay me. No, I'm not going to disappear. This is not a figment of your imagination. I got something to tell him. Oh, yes. Here's what it said. Here's what God gave me, and I want to share this with you, just two or three points. The prophecy was what God gave life, or what gave life to the drought. Whatever you're going through tonight, it don't make no difference what it is, but it makes a difference to God what you're going through. Come on, amen. God is not on the sidelines and becoming indifferent, an indifferent bystander. He is an attentive God. He knows about everything that's in your life. So the prophecy, he prophesied to a wicked king. Come on, hallelujah. Now, he just didn't prophesy and shut up. He kept on going. What did he do? The prophecy was he gave life to the drought. 1 Peter 1:19. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto the light that shineth into a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. These folks go around and say, the only one got the word, they scare me to death. Come on, amen. I'm the only one got this word. I'm the only real prophet left. Whew, that's an lonely place to be. Yep. You know, this man of God said that. I'm the only one left. Yeah, pity party. I had that one time, and I found out the only person shows up is you and the devil, so don't have them no more. The prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, hello, but holy men of God. Everybody say, holy men of God. Tonight, I perceive that Pastor Ronnie and Pastor Sherry are holy people of God. Thank you. Come on, amen. I perceive that. You've got to have perception of who you listen to. And you've got to have confidence in them. God, I feel the... Whew. No private interpretation. It was give, as Brother Simon said. We have a more sure word of prophecy. I'm going to say this right here tonight. When your pastor gets up behind this pulpit twice every Sunday, and when he teaches, he is not just blowing off. He didn't just work up something to get him to the next step. Come on, I know this much about him. I do know this. I met him a long time ago. Panama City, and when he pastored Bluntstown, I was in East Point. We connected. Hallelujah. I want to say something. Every word he's preached in this house, every word is seed. Every word that he's ever preached is coming up. Hear me. You know that? Well, I know it for sure. Because the Bible said a sower went to sow and the seed came up. Yes. Now, sometimes they come up in the wrong place. Come on. And it wouldn't receive right. It's up to, oh, God, help me to get out of here. Quick. It's up to you what kind of ground you got going on in your life. You got some stones. You got some rabbits in your briar patch. Come on, amen. But it's up to you to receive that more sure of prophecy. And just don't go home on Monday and have a nervous breakdown, not figuring out what you're going to do about it. Go back to the Word. Go back to YouTube and watch that sermon again. I shared this with the pastor since I've been here. Might have been today over lunch. I don't know. I said, I go to a lot, as an evangelist, I've gone to a lot of sick churches. Yeah. Come on, Aben. I mean hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of them in 50 years. I'm not bragging, I'm reporting. You do that in the church of God. Come on, amen. And I was prophesied over in 78 in Oklahoma City by a true prophet. I shared this with Pastor, not going into that, how I wind up where I am tonight behind this pulpit. Come on, amen. But he prophesied, God's going to make you like Ezekiel when he stood at the river Jabbar. He said, you're going to stand before dry bones. You're going to go to dry churches. I said, I don't want to go to dead churches. This is in my mind. I don't want to go to dead churches. I want to go to Crystal River. Come on, hey. Anybody in the right mind? Come on, amen. Help me to hurry, Father. So I had to go to some churches. There's one in this state that I'm not called where it's at. I was there many years ago in a revival. It lasted about 3 weeks. It took that long for them to get revived. No, that ain't true. That ain't true. I was in Ocala 4 or 5 weeks in 87. This goes a long time, didn't it, Dan? Ooh, hallelujah. Come on, amen. This side wasn't talking to this side. I didn't have no clue, but I knew something was dead wrong. I got me and the teenagers had revival. I was young then. Hello. I'm still young. I preached a youth camp 2 years ago in Curacao. I told Tony, I said, you want me to do what? I'm 70 years old. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, Pastor Ronnie, and said, the Holy Ghost connects you with any age. It connects me with the millennials. It connects me. It connects. 22 got saved on Sunday morning of that youth camp. I got to preaching on unity. I got to preaching on the blood and thing. I don't know. I just preached. I didn't know how. A clue. They're in about halfway through it. I told the piano player. She was good. I said, tomorrow night you need to wear your shouting shoes. She said, my kids are coming and they need to get 5 of them. They all lost. I said, come back tomorrow night with your shouting shoes on. So she walked in and she had flat shoes on. Didn't have them 10-inch high heel shoes. Well, they looked like it. Stilettos, they said. I said, you coming with flat shoes? You're going to shout tonight. Sure enough, her 5 kids got saved. That night, the word of God, as it went forth, the word of God put that church back together. This side started swapping sugar with this side, and this side swapped sugar with this side, and we've been another 2 weeks. God healed that church. Now that church runs 700, I guess, sometimes 600 has. Come on, amen. Hallelujah. The second thing, the intercession caused it to grow into a birth. Hear me now, the prophecy, the word goes forth. What am I going to do with it now? I know this, it ain't never happened to Pastor Ronnie. I pastored enough to know a little bit about it. You preach on Sunday and Sunday night, Monday morning you get a call, and they say, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. You didn't hear what I preached Sunday? Come on, amen. I said, was you listening? I mean, you know, when you get Well, never mind. The intercession, everybody say intercession. Intercession, caused it to grow until birth. What did Elijah do? He prophesied it. He didn't do the tiptoe around the tulips. Come on, amen. He went over and buried his head and face in the rocks of Carmel. I've been there. I stood right where he prayed. I looked over the Mediterranean Sea. And this is where Elijah told that servant. I went back 7 times. I said, I don't see a cloud. No. Intercession. Everybody say intercession. I promise you somebody is interceding around here. There's a couple of intercessors from Living Waters here tonight. Come on, amen, Sister Shirley and Sister Pam. Come on, hallelujah, and others may, I don't know. Every Tuesday night, they're there most of the time. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He searches the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he make intercession for the saints according. According, hello, to the will of God. Everybody say the will of God. The will of God. Just a few days before my wife passed away, somebody put on my Facebook, the will of God. That's all they said. Boy, something went through my, whew. He said, my will is about to be done. And then I knew. Come on, amen. Intercession. Intercession. Everybody say intercession. He put his face in the ground and prayed. Well, that man looked 7 times. Not because of doubt. He was bathing his prophets. God help me. He was bathing the word of God in prayer. And you need to bathe the word of God you hear in this house. Amen. With the Holy Ghost. With intercession. It will come up in your life and come up in other people's life. The third thing, I've got to hurry. Intercession, intercessory prayer encourages us to look. Come on, amen. For the fulfillment of the prophecy. Prophesied it. It's going to rain. Everything's dead, but it's going to rain. My face is in the ground. I'm breathing the dust of Carmel. But my servant's looking. You go look 7 times. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about such a great cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight in the sin which so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking. The word looking means to gaze. Thank you, Lord. Heather said when she was a little girl in the truck with me riding all over America, she said, that's God talking, Daddy. Yeah, he talks to the devil. Boo. Looking unto Jesus. Where am I looking? We got people looking everywhere. Running here and running there. But it's right here. Come on, amen. Right here, looking unto Jesus, to gaze, means to gaze upon, to look, to stare. You ever got stared at?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot. I look fine.
I'm in the mall in Panama City years and years ago. I'm walking down that mall trying to find me a rest area. My wife's shopping, and I just do the rest area thing. Here comes this guy dressed up in a black coat, and he had black fingernails. He had black lipstick. And I didn't make fun of him. I mean, anything looks like that, you're going to look one time. And I'm walking down through there, and I just kind of looked at him, and we made eye contact. And sister, when we made eye contact, he's about right there. He goes, wow! God encounter the third kind. He just had a God encounter. I didn't say a word. Holy Ghost is all over me. I'm in St. Vincent on the island preaching many years ago. Church packed out, people hanging out the windows. They was outside everywhere. And I'm up preaching about the blood of Jesus. And this witch, I didn't know who she was, but they told me. She come by. I looked out the window. She had another one of them black things on. The devil likes black, I guess. I don't know. He had that black thing on. And I said, the blood of Jesus is against you. And they went, oh! I said, yes. Come on, amen. I shared this with Pastor. I said, you go to some, it takes a while, but sometimes the Holy Ghost gets strong enough, the devil wakes up in people. They can sit on Church of God pews for years, and you don't even know them. But after a while, the Holy Ghost gets them moving up in there, and he tries to take some of that stuff out, and they go nuts. Try to run the pastor off, never mind, I need to get off of that. I'm in Dominican Republic back in January, Saturday morning. That's the main event. I'm there for Saturday morning, or Saturday. They had church at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I told my interpreter I'm not going to be there at 7 o'clock. I don't preach till 2:30. They don't have no air conditioning. So I'm up in there. He come get me at noon because I do like to eat. It's on my Facebook. I'm meeting on top of this church. The pastor's a chef. There's probably 1,000 people on the premise. And we eat, and I went down and I started having church. And they have these worship, they have these children that's doing, I mean, the kids doing their dance. And then they had the guys do their dance. It's awesome stuff. And they had two teams in each age. So it was a while. But it's fine. I get up and I preached. Amen. Harvest time. And somehow or another, that connected. He had military guys, looked like they were, dressed up in military uniforms, and they were the security guys and the ushers. And it come time to pray, and they pushed them back so I could do it one at a time. They didn't rush me. And so I prayed. I prayed for about 100 people or more. This guy walks up. He's wanting to talk to me. I said, no, comprende. No Espanol. He took his hat off. I started praying for him. He's about this tall, 20s. It wasn't 30 seconds. I was praying for him. The booger woke up. He started manifesting. He went reaching. He started foaming at the mouth. I looked over Tony. I said, we got a booger. They didn't know what I was saying. And those kids, those teenagers, the pastor said, seek him. And they went over there and delivered that guy. About 20 teenagers.
Wow.
There's about 5 more, and they pounced on him. Hallelujah. Set free. Intercession. You keep looking. Turn to somebody and say, I'm going to keep looking. I may be in a pile of sand, but I'm going to keep looking. I might be in a lot of trouble, but I'm going to keep looking. Hallelujah. Keep looking. 4th thing. He kept looking until he saw something. Come on, turn to somebody and say, he kept looking until he saw something. Don't go weary in well-doing, because you reap in due season if you faint not.
Hallelujah.
We are there for opportunity. Everybody say opportunity. Let us do good to all men, especially household of faith. Hallelujah. That's your pastor. Hallelujah. No matter what your situation is today, a cloudburst of his glory is coming. I'm sure it's a lot. Come on, amen. From a small cloud to a great ones, wind, rain, abundance. In case you needed to know, title of my message was abundance. I did that on purpose. Everybody say abundance. I'm not talking about God putting millions of dollars in your bank account, although he could if he wanted to. But I'm talking about the abundance of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to this last day that you be so anointed that when you walk down the mall, you walk to Water World. Amen. In the hospital, wherever you are, you just start imparting to people. Amen. I was at come out of the hospital the other day with my kidney stone problem. And I told the girl sitting there, I said, do you know you're important? She looked at me. I said, yes, you're very important. Nobody can sit where you're sitting now. They'd be on top of you if they did. I said, you're taking care of me. You're taking care of business. You're very important to this establishment. But greater, you're important to Jesus. That girl liked to have, she liked to have a spell. Right there. She had joy on her wall there. Pray. If I'd have kept talking, she'd have got up and done that little jiggy thing. Abundance is here. God just spoke to me. A few weeks ago. Well, months, a couple of months now. God spoke this to me so loud. I'm about to change the order of service. I'm about to change the order. Turn to somebody and say, God's about to change the order of service. I know you got it on something. I know you do. I know what the order of services are. But he said, I'm about to change the order of service. I'm in Dominican Republic. I've got to say this. We went to 5 major cities and big sports arenas. There was 2,000 or 3,000 people in each arena. Overseer set it up for me and my cousin. Miracles happened. We went to one town. They didn't have an arena, so we in the square. My cousin David took his shofar. And there's about 5 or 6 of us. I'm going to preach that night. And we get there at 5 o'clock. We do communion in the hotel. We get there and they're setting up the sound system. It's starting to sprinkle rain. And my cousin blew the shofar. There was a guy on a moped. They ain't got but 4 million of them in Dominican. This guy on the moped, David blew the shofar and scared that guy so bad he had a wreck. Come on, amen. He had a wreck. 25 or 30 people started coming up, getting saved. One lady brought her baby that was sick, just came from the clinic and said, your baby has no hope, it's dying. Turning ash gray, and it was just dying. We all laid hands on it, and that baby come to life, and whew, she gave us something to eat. Lady walked up to me, and she said, and through the interpreter, she said, I haven't seen out this my eye in about 5 years. We just prayed for him. It popped open. That woman went nuts. Before we turned around, there was hundreds of people all around us. Somehow come to church, we just kept laying hands on them. They started church. Waiting on the state overseer, that's okay. Nothing else happened. I felt so, man, it was awful. It was like preaching to granite with a toothpick. Going to the hotel, God spoke to me and said, church started at 5 p.m. Church was already started. Turn to somebody and say, church has already started. We are going to appropriate in our spirit, and I'm going to do this quick, expectancy. Turn to somebody and say, expectancy. The state of thinking something wonderful is going to happen. Who coined the phrase and made it famous? Expect a miracle. Oral Roberts. Expectancy. The Bible says in Psalms, my expectation is from God. The next word, where's my brother at? There he is. He walked up to me. He said, I got anticipation about tonight. And he didn't know I had it wrote down. Somebody say anticipation. Extreme. It's excitement. Foresight. The next word. I could preach. I'm not going to do it. Assurance. Somebody ought to write a song. Blessed assurance. No, I'm not going to sing it. word, promise. Undertaking, guarantee that God's committed to his assurance in you. Go on, amen. And his assurance in him. We're going to keep looking. We're going to keep asking. We're going to keep searching. We're going to keep knocking. Because if we keep asking, I wrote this down, there's going to come an answer. If we keep searching, we're going to find it. If we keep knocking, it's going to be opened. It's time for abundance. Come on, amen. The Holy Ghost. Say it again. I'm going somewhere. I never have been. I'm not coming back. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about in your ministry, your experience. I'm going somewhere. Moses said, Lord, show us thy glory. And that wasn't just a... I didn't know what it was about. The glory, it was action. God's performing his word for his people. When the glory shows up, it has an operative. It has a purpose. Yes. Come on, amen. Yes. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, it's time for you to get messed up. I'd like for Brother Ronnie to have to preach 5 times on Sunday morning. I don't know how he'd do it, but there's a church in Buenos Aires that does it every Sunday. It seats like 1,200 people, and they do that all day long about 10, 11 times. It only seats 1,200 people. So them people is in line all morning. The line sometimes is a mile and a half down the road. People are getting saved in line the whole time. Come on, amen. And when they get in there, it's serious church. They only have so much time, and they get into it quick. Sometimes it takes us a little while. Come on, amen. It's time. It's time. The last time I left Trinidad, the bishop, Stephen Mohammed, told me, and these words forever stuck in my mind and heart, Keith, it's time. Turn to somebody and say, it's time. It's time. It's time for the Lord's service to be changed into what he wants it. Come on, amen. Help me, Holy Ghost, please. A lot of you don't know me. I get like this, I'm hearing something, and I got to be real quick. I'm going to make sure. I hear a word, and it's enhancement. For this house. Hallelujah. Brother Ronnie hadn't shared everything, but he did share with me some of the things going on, the property. It's going to blow your mind, guys. Enhancement. Everybody take a deep breath. Breath of God, breathe tonight. Ooh. Take another deep breath. Breath of God. Now, when I pray for you tonight, when I touch you, that's what you're going to do. You're going to take a deep breath. I'm going to say, pray for God. Some of it tonight's in the meanwhile. Someone here tonight's in a business transition. He knows how to take care of your business if you let him have your business. I don't know who you are. God, help me. Would you stand? I'm going somewhere. Never have been. Not coming back. Everybody say abundance. He came back. There's nothing. There's nothing. I received nothing in that meeting. What did I put in it? Did I have any faith? Did I trust? Seventh time, all I see is a cloud in the Mediterranean Sea, the span of a man's hand. Tell Ahab to get trucking. It's about to rain. During my time, 38 days in our hospital. Mother's Day, my wife started going. But right before that, Kent Rogers' wife sent me a message. She said, I saw you before a gigantic gate, iron gate, rusty. The hinges was rusty and rusted shut. Over the top of that, it said revival. But you walked up to it. As you walked up to it, the rust on them hinges began to flake and to crack. You ever seen rust do that? The door started opening. I'm telling you, guys, God's about to take some rust off his church. It may not be like it was 50 years ago, 30 years ago, but God is about to change the order of service. We got to get ready. I believe that Crystal River is ready. A lot of places are not ready. But you got a pastor that can handle it. It's going to handle him. You hear me? And henchmen. Whatever your need is tonight, I'm concerned about it. And God's more concerned than I am. He's not an indifferent God standing by just twiddling the thumbs. He's here tonight. If you have any type of need in this room, come stand all the way across this building. Whatever your need may be. I'm not going to stand there 5 minutes and ask you what's wrong because I don't need to know that. Every major miracle in Ocala in 2008, I didn't ask nobody nothing. But God healed rheumatoid arthritis. He healed crooked backs. My daughter's going to come help me with the oil. Let's give him some praise. We're going to need some help with some ushers and people. I'm going to do my best to take my time because I want you to have help. I was asked by a prosecuting attorney in a very sensitive case what happened in one of our churches in Florida. And he said, Why do people fall out? When you do the prayer blessing, do people fall out? He said, why do they fall out? He said, oh, they're slain in the spirit. I said, that's a negative term. I don't use that word slain. That's killing somebody. He said, why do they fall? I said, because they can't stand up. No, everybody's not going to do that. I understand that. That's not my purpose. One more time, say, Father, I give you permission to mess me up tonight. To change my world, change my life.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.